you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the final half hour is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, gray pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way, whether it's routine or, whenever need be, difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Always pleased to be joined by Audrey Snyder from The Athletic. Audrey, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Good to be here, Steve. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing very well, thanks. Your survey is out, where you get responses from the fan base. I went through it. Were there any surprises to you in here?
Yeah, so I've been doing this, I don't know, this is maybe the third or fourth one, the Athletic off-season fan survey, and the thing, Steve, that probably surprised me most was about NIL and the fact that, you know, again, we surveyed over 900 people, so this is not indicative of the entire fan base by any stretch. We know that. But, you know, roughly 28% of the people surveyed did not know the name of the collective or that Penn State had a collective.
Yep.
So I think that's pretty interesting when you kind of look at the NIL landscape. And, yeah, I mean, we were surveying people from things like their satisfaction level with James Franklin, which was a 4 out of 5. It was, you know, kind of taking the whole body of work, preseason predictions, stat projections. My favorite part, though, is the write-in section where I asked people about, you know, what excites them about this season, what concerns them about this season. And I can tell you, Steve, I sat yesterday and sifted through each one of those answers, and some of them really made me laugh. Some of them were really good.
Yeah. yeah. There's nothing more entertaining than the comment section. All right. So let's get to a couple of these in there. The number one transfer, shockingly, is at wide receiver. Julian Fleming. He got nearly 60% of the vote. A.J. Harris got 26. Nolan Rucci, 6.5. Chase Meyer got 5.5. Jalen Kimber got 2%. Okay. Nothing really surprising there.
Yeah, no, for me, that one is the kind of, it's like people are excited about Julian Fleming, right? And to me, Steve, though, I had asked about the top pass catcher and who we think that might be.
It's not him.
And kind of what I thought might happen there happened in that I included it, you know, to include the running backs and the tight ends just because, you know, there's so many questions with the receiving core. And, yeah, the top pass catcher, people thought it could be Tyler Warren, which, again, is a little unusual, but also kind of makes sense given the circumstances of this receiving core.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, look, the bottom of James Franklin's talked about this many times. He said the wide receivers not only have to compete with themselves, they have to compete with the tight ends. If your tight ends happen to be some of your better pass catchers, well, there's a good chance they're going to be the ones seeing the field. You don't just put out three guys just to put three guys out there. What were some of the comments you received on Drew Aller?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's obviously confidence and excitement with the offense because of Andy Kotelnicki, and there's also still the kind of the question of just how good is Drew Aller, right? Like, that's the thing fans still want to know, which I think it's pretty telling that we're heading into year three with him second as a starter, and we still can't, you know, definitively say, yeah, this guy is, you know, he's X, Y, and Z just because of all the circumstances and changes that have happened around him. But I think the thing that got me is, you know, people still believe that he is a top 15 quarterback, and they think by the end of this year, mm-hmm. you know, they're not saying he's a Heisman finalist, but they're saying he's a top 15 guy, which, you know, I take that as, okay, if Drew Aller is indeed a top 15 college football quarterback, then this offense, it means it's doing well. It means that Penn State should, again, be in that conversation for the playoff. To me, this is a playoff bubble team, and kind of, you know, what constitutes a successful season this year is getting in the playoff going to satisfy enough people, or does Penn State have to get in and actually win a game in the playoff to right. satisfy? And, you know, the latter, the getting in and winning a game, is what most people said they would consider a successful season. So that's, right. Again, there's heightened expectations around here. There seemingly always is. But I think that's kind of a good gauge and an interesting way to look at it, at least.
All right, sampling of stadium renovation responses. The removal of troughs in the men's room. Improved Wi-Fi cell service. Beaver Stadium currently is one gigantic dead zone during a game. It'll be nice to be able to check scores of other games and text with friends, family in real time. Ability to host more events than just football. Seeing a concert there would be nice. Seeing a Flyers-Penguins game would be a dream. And then there's this one. The only renovation I get excited about is the lack of traffic after games. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's a lack of traffic, they're not playing well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, it's like I had to remind people, I was like, you know, there's nothing in the renovation about trying to improve traffic patterns. Like, that is a separate issue.
Right.
But it is, you know, yeah, I mean, it's still an issue around here. And I mean, at some point, you know, I think, and this is where Penn State's at, it's like, your location is your location. There's one way in, one way out. It's just kind of the geographic gridlock of where State College is. But, yeah, we know that traffic always gets people riled up, Steve.
But Jack and I think it's good for the postgame show. So.
Oh, I bet. Captive audience.
The Playfly people are like, we ought to sell more commercials on that thing. All right. And what response did you get, and that's outside of this survey, but just on the thought of the price tag at $700 million? The Wall Street Journal did a piece on it today. And what's been the general reaction that you've heard from fans when you've written about it?
I think the general reaction to the renovation is that people were underwhelmed, and I say that because I think, right, stuff like widening the concourse, improving bathrooms, improving cell service and Wi-Fi, like, that's not sexy, right? Like, that's not the massive Jumbotron, that's not the big brick exterior, that's not all those things. But these are, in some ways, almost like simple solutions to problems that have plagued this facility for a very long time.
Yeah.
So I think there's some of that. I do think there's satisfaction with the capacity and the fact that Penn State's committed to having, you know, still one of the biggest stadiums in the country. Now, again, to do that, what are you willing to sacrifice from a comfort standpoint? I've heard a lot from fans that say, hey, we'd rather be more comfortable in our seats, more chair backs, more leg room, you know, all these things. But, yeah, to me, it's been a little bit of an underwhelming thing. And I also think, Steve, some of that is that, as I talk about surveys, there have been so many surveys about the stadium mm-hmm. and what right. to do with a renovation. I think it's the right call. I mean, financially, building a new stadium was not in the cards. Like, you cannot take on that kind of financial responsibility right now in this day and age. I am very curious, though, like, in, I don't know, say 15, 20 years, right, are you still going to have 100,000-plus people willing to come into college football stadiums? Mm-hmm. Because there's got to be a reason why the NFL does what it does, where you see more of the 70, 80,000. Mm-hmm. And I know this place is special, this place is unique, but mm-hmm. I just wonder if maybe a little bit less capacity and maybe enhancing, you know, that would maybe help make it more comfortable for people. Because I just, long-term, I do wonder, as the comforts of home get better, get nicer, as the cost of, you know, getting here, attending games gets higher, I just wonder at what point do people say, okay, we're not going to commit to this. I don't know.
Right. Well, and tickets being in demand. Yep, that's another part, too. And that's what the NFL does. You know, that's why Buffalo's going to go with a 65,000-seat stadium when their original stadium was 80. Demand. What concerns you most about the upcoming season, right? Okay, I'd get to the part they're excited about, but the more entertaining responses are always in what concerns you.
Always, always.
The likelihood that Penn State's the 13th team in a 12-team field and can't win a big game. The schedule's much more difficult with the expanded conference. Existential worry over going from number 2 to number 3 to number 4 to 6 in the conference and turning into Iowa. I think we've seen James Franklin's ceiling. How much of Aller's struggles were the old OC and receivers or Aller himself? 6 years since James Franklin's good to great speech, which was meant for the recruits in the room, by the way, and the program seems no closer to winning a national title. If anything, it seems that the program peaked in 16-17, and those 2 years were more of an outlier. Also, in 10 years, it could be argued that the offense still has not been a fully functioning unit. It's a long comment.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there were, like I said, I sifted through those yesterday. And, you know, I mean, that's the, right, that's always the flip side of it. If everything goes well, you know, people are excited, they're energized about the new offense. If it doesn't go well, it's like, oh, kind of here we go again. There's a new OC. Really, how good is the quarterback? You know, like all those questions. I'm like, I get it, right? It's July. The season's around the corner. These are the kind of conversations that fans are having among themselves. I mean, these are the kind of conversations that a lot of the writers are having amongst ourselves of, you know, hey, what do you really think about this team? Or what are maybe some issues with the schedule or challenges that, or players maybe that we're not talking about now that we should be, or challenges that we don't really see right now that maybe we should anticipate. And that's this is the full preseason hype, Steve. I love this time of year because, you know, we're going to hear it in a couple weeks at Big Ten Media Days, right? Every coach is excited about their roster. Every coach is happy to be here. Every coach thinks their team's going to win a national championship. But you and I both know, right, the reality is that's not the case for most teams. Right. But Penn State is in that conversation.
Yeah, and there's no question they'll be one of the teams in the conversation. And the bottom line is you can finish third in the Big Ten. You're going to get in the playoff. I mean, so the SEC and the Big Ten are each going to get minimum of 3 in the playoff. I mean, it's because of the strength of schedule. I don't think there's any question about that. So there's more room in all of this to make something happen. But the difference is going to be who you've added along the way. Mm-hmm. And this is a question I posed to other Big Ten announcers. We had a golf outing back in May. And I said, guys, I said, is finishing 8th good? And they looked at me and they said, well, it depends on circumstances. In other words, say I wasn't doing well and I finished 8th and I've got a better record than last year. Well, if I have the same record and I'm 8th, then no. But I said, that's something that has to be considered when you break away from divisions. Is 8th good?
Yeah, I mean, Stephen, that I think is like the Penn State point of if you're 10-2 again, right? And you get in the first round and you lose in the first round, that's kind of the same narrative here. I mean, that's, and I think what's going to be interesting too is like, we're all going to have to wrap our head around the fact that, like, especially after the way things have gone here at 10-2, like, 10-2 is different now. You know, 10-2 means a little bit more because of the schedule. But also, like, you lose that game in the playoffs, say, right? Your season's done, right? There's no bowl trip. Mm-hmm. There's no, I mean, I think it's just, it's going to be really interesting to see how this whole thing shakes out. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. I think, yeah, the conference gets harder, and for Penn State, getting rid of that East Division is wonderful. You're not playing Michigan this year unless, of course, you play them in the playoff. You're not seeing Oregon this year, which is also a good break. But you're also not going to play Rutgers and Maryland every year, right? That's the other side of that. It's wins are going to be tough. I mean, you're going to USC this year. You're playing Wisconsin. Washington's in a different kind of situation as they rebuild, but they're coming here, you know? I mean, it's going to be fun. I did take away from the survey, fans are excited to see these other venues and have other teams come here. But, yeah, it's just we're on the cusp of this brand-new, new-look season, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Of the new teams, which one raises your curiosity?
I think Oregon, just because of now, kind of the way that I think they're going to roll. I think you look at them and you say, okay, well, if you're Penn State, it was, oh boy, you got Ohio State, you got Michigan, and I would still put Oregon then in that top, you know, that top tier, approaching that top tier. USC, of course, would be the other one for me, that if Lincoln Riley, the quarterback whisperer, can kind of put this thing together, they could be a real problem. But, yeah, to me, Oregon is the interesting or most interesting of all of them. And, of course, they come to Beaver Stadium in 2025. And, Steve, shield your eyes, because that could be a real uniform clash.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's I'll give you a 2015. Penn State played down in Baltimore. I think that was the year.
Mm-hmm.
And Marilyn wore the jerseys from 1961.
Yes.
When Dick Shiner and those guys won their game against Penn State. And so I'm doing the pregame, and I'm leading out. It's near kickoff. And I said, Jack, I said, Maryland's wearing their throwback jerseys with the red, the numbers on the helmets, the whole thing. He says, Penn State's wearing their throwback road jerseys. I said, oh, wait a minute, Jack, those are Penn State's jerseys.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but the simplicity of it will not settle at Oregon. There will be no simplicity on those uniforms.
No, it's interesting, though. One thing that Paul Keels, who does Ohio State, did a Rose Bowl with Oregon. And this is back maybe about 2010 or something like that. He says, Steve, I couldn't see the numbers. Right? And that, you know, it's interesting. They do all that stuff for TV, but if you can't read the numbers, including the fans in the stand, what good is it?
Hey, Steve, the most unpopular take around here, when Penn State had the names on the back of the jersey, it was a heck of a lot easier for the beat writers. That was like the best thing for us. It was, man, you get the double numbers, you know for sure who it is, especially on special teams. That was a unique era for many reasons, but one of them being it was, I could say with certainty, it was this guy and not that guy.
Yeah, well, I'll give you one. When Penn State went final play kneel down, and they run number 5 out there to be the guy in the back, right? Fans thought it was Jahan Dotson. It was Tariq Castro Fields.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you wouldn't know. You know, you just see number 5 on offense, and so you thought it was him.
Yeah, and you're trying to track snaps, and people want to know who's playing on what special teams, and it is. I liked when Penn State, when they put the numbers on the helmet, that's really nice, too.
Yeah.
Again, I know fans probably hate that as well, but
no, they love. Actually, they love that. Actually, the number thing. Oh, yeah, the fans like them because that's what Cappelletti had. That.
Yeah.
So it's good enough during the Cappelletti era. It's good enough now.
Yeah. So that's to me, the generations of greatness. I still remember when they rolled out those uniforms, and we're looking at them, and it was like this big reveal, and we're all thinking it's going to be some crazy alternate. And I just remember leaving there thinking, like, well, that's it. That looks very similar to what we see Penn State wear all the time, you know. But there's subtle changes that people notice. But, you know, the white shoes, the numbers on the helmet, those types of things.
Probably a lot of what you do in the survey confirms your thought process anyway. But how much does it help you form questions when you get to media days because you have feedback from fans of what they're thinking about?
Yeah, it's invaluable, and that's why I do it. It's kind of selfish, right? It's self-serving, and it's one of those where I'm like, I want to know what fans care most about, right? Because that's going to drive my reporting. That's going to drive the story generation this season. What do they care about? And for me, like, that's where the NIL thing, I mean, I knew there was a bit of a gap in knowledge and some discrepancies, and you know, you get some of the answers that people are just straight up like, I don't care about the collective, right? I don't know the name, and I don't care about it. I'm never going to give to it. But for me, it also kind of highlights that, yeah, a lot of people are still really confused about NIL here. And I know that's like, I didn't need to do a survey for that, but it just reaffirms, you know, kind of that understanding of it. And the whiteout stuff is interesting, too, of, you know, fans continue to want the whiteout to be at night regardless of opponent, which aligns with what, you know, when Penn State did that survey on Twitter a few years ago. And again, they're in a unique spot this year. What do you do with that marquee game? And do you try to do it with Ohio State, even knowing that game probably isn't going to be at night, you know? Right. Like that kind of stuff, it just is really interesting to pick the fans' brain for a little bit.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate the great work as always, and thanks for the time you gave us today.
No problem, Steve. Take care.
Audrey Snyder from The Athletic. And we'll wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.